I don't know what sort of week you had last week, but very briefly, I've been down on the south coast and travelled back, and you know, there's that lovely motorway, M25, yeah. 4 hours on the M25 to get from Heathrow back to Ipswich. I wanted to be back sooner because I knew I was preaching tonight, and I knew I was out yesterday, and it sort of, time sort of drifted away. And I certainly have been not at peace about this evening. So it's important that as we come to look at God's word, that we just commit these next few minutes to the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we're facing up to quite a difficult topic this evening. And I would simply ask that by your Spirit, you will take my words and you will use those words in each one of us' life this evening, that you will say to us what you need to say to us. Lord, challenge us where we need your challenge. But Lord, give us that spirit of willingness to respond to what you say. I ask this in the name of our Lord, our Saviour and our Peace Giver, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you may remember that 3 weeks ago, Judge was up here introducing our series on the fruit of the Spirit. And he showed some slides at the beginning of his talk that he'd taken from the news of the week. He showed slides reflecting the tension that's going on between the USA and North Korea. And a tension that has continued with further firing of missiles over Japan. A tension that's continued with the trading of insults, of inflammatory language between those two countries and the leaders of those two countries. I wonder what the people in Japan feel like, what the people in South Korea feel like, what the people in Guam feel like. Do they feel at peace? We saw pictures of hurricanes, and hurricanes which have continued to lash the Caribbean islands, causing devastation, causing loss of life. There are many in those Caribbean islands and the southern US states who are living among chaos, among turmoil. Do you think they are at peace? There have been earthquakes in Mexico, causing destruction to large areas where people feel at dis-ease because of future quakes. There's been, since Judge spoke to us, an attempted bombing on the underground in London. I wonder what the people of London feel like as they travel on the underground today. Are they at peace about it, or are they finding other sorts of transport? And then, in our world, there's that irony in Myanmar, with Aung San Suu Kyi, who had and was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. And being one of the top people in that country. And we have all those Rohingya people who are fleeing Myanmar because there is no peace there. There's a lot of people in our world who do not feel at peace. And I suppose I've got a question for you. Given these world situations, do you feel at peace? If you say no, you're not alone in this world. I want this evening to pick up on some of those points that Mark introduced to us. And I want to share those points with you in case I wander off down some rabbit hole or other. I want to think about the peace that we have with God. I want to think about the peace that we have with other people. I want to think about the peace that we have with ourselves. So just hang on to those three points and we will get round to them, I hope, in God's guidance at some point. But in the light of what's happening in our world with all the tension, the things that I've shared, I want you just to listen to this exhortation from Paul that he gives to the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God offers us a peace which transcends human understanding. And perhaps if you want to get home for the 8 o'clock TV drama tonight, I would best sit down, because God's peace is beyond understanding. What more could I say? But I'm going to disappoint you and carry on. So let's explore this peace that God gives. And let's try to understand at least something of the nature of this peace that is an offer to us, and how it should impact our lives in relationship to God, to Jesus, to others, and to ourselves. Let's go to the Old Testament to start with. And there's a word in the Old Testament, shalom, which often used for peace. But it really means quite a lot more. It's used when one asks about the welfare of somebody. Shalom is used when somebody prays for the welfare of another person. It's used for harmony between people. And shalom is prayed for the good, the welfare of a city or a country. And if you've read today's scripture union notes, we get that word shalom in Psalm 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. And that verse picks up some of the concepts of shalom, of what peace really means. They capture the dimensions of the word's meaning. Security of place and people, their welfare, their prosperity. And it's a word that's still in use. I've had contact on my radio with another radio ham in Israel. And I've listened to him. And he always signs off with shalom. Peace be with you. So there's a feeling of the flavour of shalom from the Old Testament. And I wondered what we could learn from the New Testament about peace, and we've had some of those words already. Jesus, who said, blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called sons of God. And Jesus is the one on the day of his resurrection, stepped into that room with his disciples who, let's say, they lacked peace because of the situation. And Jesus was the one who said, peace be with you. We get that in John chapter 20, verse 19. Well, those verses came to mind, so I thought, well, what else does Jesus have to say about peace? So picked up my concordance. And I turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. I tell you something. I got a shock. I wasn't expecting Jesus to say this. Now just listen to what Jesus says. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Do you know what? This does not sound like peace to me. This sounds more like warmongering. The sort of warmongering one would expect between distant nations. But no, this is almost warmongering within your own homestead. Warmongering between man and father, mother and daughter. When Jesus uses that word, sword, he is referring to the separation between those who believe in God and those who do not. We see this in the situation with Jesus' own family. There's Jesus been out on the road preaching with his disciples. And his family get to hear about what he's saying. And frankly, they think he is mad. They come and they want to take Jesus away. They want to stop him proclaiming the good news of God. This tension between those who follow Jesus and those who do not can occur at various levels, as I'm sure we're aware. It can occur between various religious groups. It can occur between the secular state and Christian communities. And just think about those areas in our world where the church is persecuted, even down to the level of conflict within families, because one person is a believer in Jesus and another is not. What Jesus spoke all those years ago is true today. And he's talking about a conflict, a spiritual conflict, which looks more like war than peace. But what Jesus is doing, he's actually quoting some words from the prophet Micah. When Jerusalem was under siege and the social structures were breaking down, there was no peace when Micah originally spoke these words, because the Jewish people had turned away from God, following God. They'd disobeyed his ways. And Jesus uses Micah's words, those strong words, to challenge us about our loyalty to him. Just listen to how Jesus goes on. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. A loyalty to Jesus. A loyalty to Jesus is the only foundation to true peace. If we love someone else more than Jesus, if we love something else more than Jesus, in both instances, we are not worthy of him. If we're not prepared to follow the example of Jesus, the example of Jesus dying upon the cross, being prepared to give our all in his service, we are not worthy of him. And it's through our obedience in faith to his call to follow me that we can experience true peace. We've had this scripture before already this evening from Romans chapter 5 verse 1. For when we have given ourselves to following Jesus, we can take this verse on board. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this peace is something that we have to pursue. Yes, it comes from God, but as we go into being at peace with other people, as we try and be at peace with ourselves, peace is something that we have to pursue. We had it in Psalm 34, verse 14 this morning. Peace must be pursued. So being at peace. Peace with God is fundamental. It's first priority. Get that right. And we can start working on the other aspects of peace. Being at peace with other people. And being at peace with ourselves. We know that Jesus told people that the great command was to love God, first of all. And then to love others. And although Jesus didn't say these words, it's almost true of peace as well. We have to, first of all, be at peace with God before we can be at peace with other people. The two seem to go hand in hand. It's not easy to think of all the situations that stop us being at total peace. But peace is something which we need to pursue. Peace requires perseverance. You know, in our daily situations, there may be open hostility to us being Christians. But perhaps it's more likely that the hostility is rather more subtle. The peer pressure of those who, perhaps at school, the peer pressure that comes in teenage years. The subtle peer pressure. But it's not only subtle peer pressure for teenagers. It doesn't get any easier to follow Jesus when you get older. Now, in adult life, there's the pressures of work. There's the pressures of married life, living with other people. For some, there's the pressures of being single and having to live a life on their own. There's the pressures of supporting children. I've sought to follow Jesus since I was a teenager. And I've been through a lot of those, and I've been through more as well. There's the pressure of redundancy. There's a pressure of being out of not having a job for months and months. There's the pressure of having to see a loved one being diagnosed with cancer and watching her die. But watching her die in the knowledge that she was at peace with God through knowing Jesus Christ. Perseverance is required. And James encourages us in his letter in chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. So as we persevere, as we learn how to manage some of these unpeaceful times of our lives, whether teenagers or as adults, as we do this in the strength that God gives us, then we will receive this crown of life from God. God gives us a tranquility that sustains us in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to enable that to happen. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us. We need the Holy Spirit to motivate us in the fruit of the Spirit, to motivate us in love, in joy, and in peace, to give us strength to persevere, to give us a love for our neighbours in difficult situations, to give us a deep sense of peace and joy in our hearts. Paul exhorts the Christians at Colossae in chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were all called to peace. He was talking here about tensions within the church. We need to be at peace as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to seek God's strength to be at peace with those who are hostile towards us. But we also need to be at peace with ourselves. We need to be at peace about things that may have happened to us in the past. Things that have been said to you. Things that might have been said and you've heard about second hand. Things that have been done to you. Perhaps there's been threats made against you. Perhaps there's been some abuse in your life. We need to be at peace with ourselves that these things have been dealt with. It's so easy, if we don't deal with them, to actually harbour a grudge against someone. It's even worse if that grudge is harboured against a fellow believer. And in the passage Peter read to us, and I know I haven't touched on this, harbouring a grudge causes bitter envy to be like a cancer working inside us. We need to be at peace with ourselves, with the things that have happened in the past. And although everything relatively is past, we perhaps need to be at peace with ourselves about some of the present situations, things that have happened more recently, things that we perhaps feel guilty about. Oh, didn't get those exam results that I wanted, so I can't do the course. Feeling guilty about not having studied hard enough. How I didn't get that promotion that I knew I really deserved. It means that I can't do A, B and C in the future. We're not at peace, perhaps with some of the present things that are going on in our lives. We're not at peace because of what James, in the same verse that I've just quoted, calls selfish ambition. I was at St John's this morning. I suddenly I won't say pounced upon, but invited to be the Christian in the kitchen. We have a group of young people who meet, and they wheel somebody in and say something, and I was not expecting this. And the question put to me, can you give me an example of when you realised that there was sin in your life? And do you know what I said? And perhaps some of you will have a resonance with this. As you get older, you perhaps have a little bit more time. And that time can be taken up with doing what I want to do. That selfish ambition. And that was the thing that came to me, and just has a resonance with the selfish ambition, that perhaps we are not at peace because we're striving for something that is not within God's remit for us. So first of all, we need to be at peace with God. We need to be at peace with our neighbours. And we need to be at peace with ourselves. Paul concludes his letter to the Romans in chapter 15, verse 53, with these words. Words which I think are well worth ending with. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Amen.